It's late November, the year is 2000. Only 6 days after most Americans were celebrating the Thanksgiving holiday. But across the pond, this is the day 16-year-old schoolgirl Leanne Tiernan goes missing. She just vanishes into thin air, less than 1 mile from her home in England. The search for missing Leanne involved over 1,700 building searches, 32 underwater searches, and the draining of a 2-mile section of a canal that halted the household waste collections for hundreds of households. The body of Leanne Tiernan was finally found months later on August 20th, 2001. At her autopsy, forensic experts collected valuable forensic evidence from the body in hopes that it would lead them to her killer or killers. The murder of Leanne Tiernan became known as the first British murder investigation that used dog DNA profiling to catch a savage killer. How were police able to link dog hairs found on Leanne's body to her killer? We tell the complete story of the murder of Leanne Tiernan this week on Forensic Tales. Welcome to Forensic Tales. I'm your host, Courtney. Each Monday, we release a new episode that discusses real, bone-chilling, true crime stories and how forensic science has been used in the case. Some cases have been solved through cutting-edge forensic techniques, while other stories have been left sitting on the shelf, collecting dust in the cold case division, just waiting to be solved by forensic science. We discuss DNA, fingerprints, genetic genealogy, and even the case this week, the DNA profiling of dogs in a murder investigation. Now, if you need any more reasons to love man's best friend, let's get to our episode. Leanne Tiernan was a beautiful 16-year-old teenager from the large city of Leeds, England, a place only about 170 miles north of central London. Leeds, England is a place known for having the most diverse economies in all of the United Kingdom. However, Leeds isn't a place without its troubles, just like many other large cities and towns across the world. The crime rate in Leeds is well above the national average, according to local crime figures. On November 26, 2000, Leanne Tiernan went for a shopping trip in downtown Leeds with her 15-year-old friend, Sarah Whitehouse. The young teenage girls were last seen together around 4:50 p.m. that afternoon. After finishing the shopping trip, Leanne and Sarah said their goodbyes at Hewley Lane. Leanne parted from her friend and set off along a path into a wooded area known as Hewley Gill. Now, before I go any further here, I totally apologize if I am butchering any of these names, as I'm not 100% sure how these street names are pronounced in England, and I'm sure I will get some emails if I'm messing this one up, and I'm totally okay with that. So Leanne's friend Sarah arrives home and calls up her friend, but was surprised to find out that her friend hadn't returned home yet. This immediately caused Sarah Whitehouse's heart to drop into the pit of her stomach. Leanne's mother began to worry once her daughter's friend called the house and informed her that Leanne should already be home by now. At approximately 5:20 p.m., Leanne's mother decided to call her daughter's cell phone and find out for herself why her daughter hadn't returned home yet. Leanne is a 16-year-old girl. It wouldn't be totally uncommon for her not to immediately come straight home after the shopping trip. She may have just seen another friend of hers on the way home, or possibly just got sidetracked somewhere else. But But Leanne's mother wasn't able to get through to her daughter. She called and called, but got absolutely no answer from her teenage daughter. Finally, after calling the cell phone several times, the call was cut off after only four rings, immediately sparking an intense fear in Leanne's mother's mind. At 7 p.m. that evening, Leanne's mother decides that something is just not right here, so she decides to call the local police department to report her young, beautiful daughter missing. Because Leanne Tiernan was only 16 years old and the circumstances of her disappearance were alarming, the police began a missing person investigation. Police officers began their search for Leanne around the streets where her friend, Sarah Whitehouse, last saw her. They arrived at Hewley Lane and saw absolutely no trace of Leanne anywhere. It appeared that the young teenager simply vanished into thin air. During the course of the investigation and the intense search for 16-year-old Leanne Tiernan, police knocked on more than 1,400 houses and 800 more along the route they believed Leanne took on her way home from the shopping trip. The police designated this route as, quote, Red Route, which was about a half-mile radius of Hewley Gill. Police were certain that they were searching the very path and route that Leanne must have taken home that night. Police collected DNA samples from over 140 men in the area and executed 12 search warrants at various locations throughout the city of Leeds. The community and the police department were determined to return Leanne Tiernan home safe and sound to her family, and they were going to do anything and everything in their power to find her. The police department's underwater search unit even carried out a search of a 3-mile area of Leeds and Liverpool Canal. The unit even searched 32 drain shafts in the area in hopes of finding any sign of the missing teenager. But after each and every search, investigators were coming up empty-handed, and the hopes of finding Leanne Tiernan alive were starting to fade. On December 3rd, 2000, 1 week after Leanne was last seen by her friend, police stage a reconstruction of the two teenagers' last movements. The scene was actually reenacted by Sarah Whitehouse and Leanne's older sister, Michelle. Police set up the reenactment with hopes of jogging the memories of any potential witnesses who may have seen the girls that afternoon. Police were desperate for any new leads or new information about Leanne's disappearance. As the case remained cold, a local businessman from Leeds put up a reward for £10,000 for any information leading to Leanne's safe return. A local supermarket chain even featured the missing teenager's face on milk cartons that were sold nationwide. All attempts at locating Leanne Tiernan came up short, and police kept asking themselves, where in the world is Leanne, and could she even be alive? As the search for missing 16-year-old Leanne intensified, the police received several tips and unconfirmed sightings of her from faraway towns like Doncaster and Blackpool. All tips and reported sightings led them no closer to her discovery. By this point, 9 long months go by without any promising leads in the case. Her family and friends, including boyfriend Wayne Keeley, plead to the public for her safe return and for her to get in touch with them wherever she may be. It's absolutely heartbreaking to hear that her loved ones still remain hopeful that Leanne is still alive, even after 9 months have gone by since she was last seen. On December 4th, 2000, police released an EFIT facial composition of a man who was last seen walking a dog in the area that Leanne was last seen. An eFit is basically a computer-based method of producing facial compositions solely based on witness descriptions. The man in the eFit was described as being 5'8" tall and of stocky build. He had a reddish face that may possibly be scarred. The man was wearing a black hat, a 3/4 length waterproof jacket, and dirty jeans. Months and months go by in the investigation without any sign of Leanne. Her family, friends, and the public remain hopeful until one terrible morning in August 2001, when everything would come crashing down and all hopes would be shattered. On August 20th, 2001, months after Leanne Tiernan disappeared from her shopping trip, a man named Mark Bison was walking his two dogs in Lindley Woods when he came across the body of a young teenage girl. The coroners were called to the scene, and the body was transported to the medical examiner's office for an autopsy. The teenage body was identified by her fingerprints as 16-year-old Leanne Tiernan, confirming everyone's worst nightmares. Shortly after the autopsy, police announced that Leanne's body had been wrapped inside 9 green plastic bags that had been sealed with twine. A black bag was secured around Leanne's head with a leather dog collar to keep the bag shut. She was then placed inside a floral-patterned duvet cover. Overall, it was an absolutely horrible and terrifying end to Leanne's beautiful life. It's unimaginable how someone so evil, so awful, could do something like this to someone who had their entire life ahead of them. Police now had to shift their investigation from a missing person case to a murder investigation. When Leanne was last seen alive with her friend Sarah, she was wearing a popular British brand coat and black boots. However, when police examined Leanne's body, the coat and boots were nowhere to be found. Instead, police found plastic cable ties around her wrist, which appeared to be used to bind her. A dark-colored scarf was also found tied around her neck. There was no sign of sexual assault, but police were suspicious about the whereabouts of her coat and boots, possibly indicating to police that there was still a sexual motive behind the murder. The state of decomposition of Leanne's body is an important part of the story. When police arrived at the scene where her body was dumped, forensic experts believed that after her death, her body was kept in a cold storage or freezer for weeks, possibly months, before her body was finally discovered. A cryobiologist was called in to examine the microstructures of Leanne's cardiac tissue, which told the police that her body was in fact kept in a freezer for, quote, quite some time. This told police investigators that whoever killed Leanne Tiernan kept her body in a freezer possibly for months before he decided to dump her body in the wooded area. This sent chills down the spine of police investigators. A piece of evidence that was extremely interesting to police was the leather dog collar that was found around Leanne's neck and around the black bag over her head. Police believed that the dog collar must belong to whoever was responsible for killing Leanne. So police started to search for the company or manufacturer of that particular leather dog collar. The collar they were looking for was manufactured by a company that sold that particular collar to 220 separate wholesalers. Now, you might think this is a needle in a haystack type search for investigators, but Detective Constable Wilson, who was assigned to Leanne's case, contacted every single one of those wholesalers and began asking for their records of sales to anyone in the Leeds area. The 112th company that Detective Wilson contacted was a Liverpool-based mail-order company called Pets Pajamas. And once Detective Wilson made contact with this company, he discovered that there had been 3 sales in the Leeds area for that same dog collar. The company worker immediately sent over the sales records to Detective Wilson, and one of the names of the customers was John Taylor. John Taylor was a parcel delivery man who lived in the same housing estate as Leanne Tiernan. John Taylor was known locally as the Pet Man because he had several dogs and ferrets and even sold pet food on the side. John Taylor was a divorced man with only 1 previous criminal conviction, which was only a petty theft case for stealing a suit when he was only 15 years old. Once investigators found out that John Taylor was one of the few people who purchased that particular leather dog collar, he immediately rose to the top of the suspect list. But just because John Taylor had purchased that same dog collar that was found around Leanne's neck, police knew that wasn't going to be enough physical or forensic evidence linking him to her brutal murder. So police investigators began searching for any additional forensic evidence to tie John Taylor to the murder of Leanne Tiernan. And believe me, there was no shortage of forensic evidence. Now remember, when Leanne's body was discovered, police removed a dark-colored scarf that had been tied around her neck. When investigators removed the scarf from her neck, they could see a tiny bit of hair knotted up in the scarf that, after being tested, did not belong to Leanne. Once they knew the hair was not Leanne's, scientists at the Forensic Science Service were able to test the knotted hair for possible DNA using mitochondrial DNA testing within the shaft of the hair. It was a long shot, but in forensic science, we always believe in the long shot. And in this case, we hit a home run. The mitochondrial DNA testing of the knotted hair found in the scarf came back as an exact 100% match to John Taylor, the same suspect who purchased the leather dog collar. John Taylor just keeps looking better and better in the eyes of the police. Could it be that police finally had what they needed to arrest him for Leanne's murder? Police knew they had their suspect, and his name was John Taylor. But like any good investigators, they wanted more physical and forensic evidence linking him to the brutal murder. If you think things are looking pretty bad for John Taylor, well, I'm here to tell you that it gets a lot worse for him. So besides the leather dog collar purchase and John Taylor's hair on the scarf, the Forensic Science Service also examined the twine that was used to seal the green plastic bags in hopes of discovering valuable forensic evidence. Examiners determined that the twine came from a very unique manufacturer that was actually only made by one single company from Devon, England. Again, apologies to any of my overseas listeners if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. So this twine was typically reserved for the use in the Ministry of Defense, but it just so happens that there was a one-off batch of twine that was sold in stores for making nets to catch rabbits. By this point, police were able to obtain a search warrant of John Taylor's home. And inside his home, what did they find? Well, they found the exact same twine used in the murder in Taylor's home. This batch was the only one-off batch ever sold to the public. During the search of Taylor's home, police investigators found several more pieces of forensic and physical evidence linking him to Leanne's murder. The search confirmed that the yellow cable ties recovered from Leanne's body where she was dumped once again was an exact match to the ties found in Taylor's home, which, you guys, just like the twine, the cable ties were a very unique style and brand from a company that was actually a subsidiary for Taylor's employer. Something I want to mention is that during the search of John Taylor's home, investigators noticed that Taylor had recently ripped up and replaced all the carpet throughout the home. Even if this is your very first day on the job as a crime scene investigator or detective, if a murder suspect decides to replace all the carpet in his home, this is, by textbook, a huge red flag and is pretty much cop 101. Although the carpet had been replaced, investigators were still able to link the pink carpet fibers found on Leanne's clothing to the same carpet fibers retrieved from the floor bed of Taylor's home. Without a doubt, Leanne Tiernan was inside of John Taylor's house before her death. Okay, you guys, let's get to my favorite part of the investigation. And what makes this story the first British murder investigation to use dog DNA profiling? When police recovered Leanne's body from the dump site, they were able to collect several tiny pieces of what appeared to be dog hair from her body and from her clothing. The dog hair samples were shipped to a crime lab across the world to the state of Texas. Forensic experts in Texas tested the dog hair with the hopes of being able to create a partial DNA profile of the dog. To everyone's surprise, myself included, scientists were able to actually retrieve a DNA profile of that dog. Now, unfortunately, and you guys, this is such a huge bummer, but by the time scientists in Texas were able to create this doggy DNA profile that would prove that Taylor's dog had been around Leanne before her murder, John Taylor's dog passes away. So although investigators were able to use the doggy DNA profile and match it to Taylor's dog, they were certain that John Taylor was their guy. And this case will forever be known as the country's first homicide investigation to use dog DNA profiling. The overwhelming amount of physical and forensic evidence led to the arrest of John Taylor for the murder of Leanne Tiernan on October 16, 2001, nearly 1 year after the murder. After his arrest, police went back to Taylor's house to perform an even bigger search of the property. And during this extensive search, police found three large chest freezers on his property, which tells me and tells the police that these were the same freezers used to store Leanne's body for months before her body was finally dumped. After his arrest, police sit down with Taylor, the man they are certain is responsible for Leanne's murder. It didn't take long for a confession of sorts. Taylor admitted to police that, yeah, he had kidnapped Leanne. He had walked past her, and just on impulse and a split-second decision, he grabbed her from behind, tied her hands behind her back with the dog's leash. Taylor then forced Leanne into his home when the two got into a struggle. According to Taylor, Leanne struck her head on the floor, causing him to use the scarf to pick her up. And this is when she died, accidentally. He told police that he would never intend on killing Leanne, and that after she fell and hit her head, he panicked and didn't know what to do with the body. So he decided to hide her body in Lindley Woods. During this conversation with Taylor, police straight out ask him, why Leanne? Why did he decide to take her that afternoon? And Taylor's response was as cold as ice when he said, quote, I don't know. John Taylor pled guilty to the abduction of Leanne Tiernan in front of a judge in Leeds Crown Court on February 15, 2001. He was not required to enter a plea on the murder charges because the case was pending a separate Newton hearing, which basically just means that the two sides are offering evidence to the judge to support their position. Several months later, on July 8, 2002, which was supposed to be the first day of trial in the murder case, John Taylor pled guilty to the murder of Leanne. Taylor was actually sentenced the same day that he pled guilty for the murder. And at the time of the sentencing, the judge had quite a few words for him and said, quote, after the death of this girl at your hands, you wanted sexual deviancy with a girl of similar age. That not only demonstrates how dangerous you are, but demonstrates your lack of remorse. Not by chance were you in this area for this purpose. You were not acting on impulse. You chose a secluded place and a vulnerable young girl who suited your purposes. This was as cold and calculating as you can be imagined. You are a dangerous sexual sadist. Your purpose in kidnapping this young girl was so that you could satisfy your perverted cravings. The suffering you caused her and the suffering you continue to cause those who loved her simply cannot be measured. You must expect to spend the rest of your life in custody. End quote. John Taylor was sentenced to the mandatory term of life imprisonment for Leanne's murder. But shortly after the original judge's sentence, Taylor's sentence was changed to a minimum of 20 years by the presiding Lord Chief Justice of England and Wales. While in prison, police start to wonder if this was really the only crime John Taylor has ever committed. Although Taylor told police during his interview that his decision to abduct Leanne was made on impulse and it was just a random, split-second decision, police weren't too sure about that. Although his criminal record was squeaky clean, minus the petty theft incident as a young teenager, Taylor had absolutely no other documented criminal history. Since Taylor was locked up in prison and they had his DNA sample from the murder of Leanne, investigators were actually able to link him to several other awful crimes. Police investigators linked John Taylor to two separate rapes in the Leeds area by his DNA sample. In addition to Leanne's murder, John Taylor was also responsible for the rape of a 32-year-old woman in October 1988 and the rape of a 21-year-old woman in March 1989. And he later pled guilty to both rapes on February 4th, 2003. After John Taylor pled guilty to the two additional rapes, Detective Superintendent Gregg announced to the public that, quote, we are still concerned that there may be other victims and families who have been affected by Taylor's actions, end quote. Detective Gregg also told the public that a necklace was found in Taylor's car at the time of his 2001 arrest for Leanne's murder that may actually belong to yet another victim that they haven't been able to identify yet. John Taylor is known to the police to have traveled quite a bit across the country to meet different women that he contacted through personal ads. All of these stone cold facts point to the reality that John Taylor lied about his claims that he just, quote, snapped when he saw Leanne walking down the street. Police believe that John Taylor is a serial sexual attacker and murderer for the last 20 years. Okay, guys, to this day, John Taylor has adamantly denied involvement in any other attacks in the Leeds area or elsewhere throughout the country. But turns out, just like the Maury show, that was a lie. And on October 26th, 2018, Taylor was sentenced to a whole new life sentence for a series of other sexual assaults and rapes. Since Leanne Tiernan's abduction and murder, the police have opened up a total of 10 cold cases they believe Taylor may have been involved with over the years. A mountain of forensic evidence and the use of dog DNA profiling was used to put a serial rapist and suspected serial killer behind bars. It's all thanks to forensic science that John Taylor is currently serving his sentence at a high-security male prison in Wakefield, England. And it's my hope that forensic science and man's best friend can continue to be used to link this monster to other crimes and murder, and finally provide justice to these desperate families. Forensic Tales is a Rockefeller audio production. To check out photos from this week's case and learn more about dog DNA profiling, check out our website, ForensicTales.com. You can even submit your favorite true crime case to have a chance at it being featured in one of our weekly episodes. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to Forensic Tales on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your favorite shows. And leave us a rating. I can't tell you enough how much your support of my show is appreciated. And when you leave us a rating, it really helps promote the show and helps me to continue to produce the true crime content you and I love. Join me next week. And remember, not all stories have happy endings.